Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 21. Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21, I'd like to look at verse 3. The Holy Spirit moves upon Solomon to write these words: to do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Now, the truth, the understanding of that passage of Scripture is shown more clear, no more clear. It's not shown in any place to be more clear than in 1 Samuel. I'll read this to you, 1 Samuel 15:22, where the prophet Samuel says to King Saul, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice." Solomon wrote, "To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice." And the Spirit of God instructed the prophet to pen these words: "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice." Now, there's obviously sacrifice that is acceptable to God, the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, who laid down his life for his sheep. That's what he said. "I lay down my life for my sheep." The sacrifice of our praise and thanksgiving unto the Lord is acceptable. But here there's something that is better than some type of sacrifice. In Ecclesiastes 5:1 is the sacrifice that's not acceptable to God. It's referred to as the sacrifice of fools. That's Ecclesiastes 5:1, the sacrifice of fools. Now what is that? Well, it's a sacrifice of man's origin. It's a sacrifice of man's own acts, his own works, by which he thinks himself to be sacrificing unto the little g god of his own making. Men make up a god in their mind, a god that they think they can please by their own works and by the deeds, the works of the law, shall no flesh be justified in God's sight. So these sacrifice of fools, it's these acts done without true faith. It's acts without God-given repentance, and they're done foolishly, thinking that these self-righteous sacrifices are making an atonement for sin. And anything that you find that men do in order to be saved, it's something that they're doing for God, whatever it is, is a sacrifice of a fool. So Samuel, 1 Samuel 15:22, the prophet Samuel, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken unto the Lord, to hearken to the word of God himself, better than the fat of rams." Now, if there's anything that I truly would desire to do, I want to be obedient. I want to obey God. I want to be accepted in the beloved. I want to be accepted in Christ. I want to be at peace with God and not failing, not be found failing to obey. I don't want to be found sacrificing the sacrifice of a fool. and thinking to myself, well, I've been faithful enough. I've been this, I've been that. Because I know better than that. What had happened back in Samuel, if you want to look at it, 1 Samuel chapter 15, and Almighty God had moved upon the prophet Samuel to tell King Saul what he was to do. Here it is, 1 Samuel 15, verse 3. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man, woman, infant, suckling, ox, sheep, camel, ass. What was he to do? Kill everything. Everything? Everything. Children too? Children too. Well, you know the story, and I'll just for the sake of time, I'll tell you what he did. He came and he spared the king. He spared the best of the sheep. He took the best of what he thought and then was caught. Samuel came and asked him, what's going on? He said, well, I've obeyed God. He said, well, what's all the bleating of the sheep I hear then? The lowing of the cattle. What is, oh, well, the people. The people. They wanted to keep, you know, the best to sacrifice it unto the Lord. What King Saul did was he sacrificed everything that appeared to him to be worthy of destruction, but preserved that which he thought would be worth retaining, and then tried to give it a religious twist. You know, that's what happens when somebody does something in disobedience. They give a religious twist to it. You know, well, I'm doing this for the Lord. I'm doing this for the good Lord. I'm doing this. And here's the question. What was the right thing for him to do? Obey. Obey. What does God require of me or you for acceptance and peace before him? What does God require? Obedience. Well, now let me ask you this. How strict are his guidelines? Now this is what's required. Obedience. James 2:10. For whosoever should keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all. So here's what's required. Obedience. But we got a problem. Nobody ever born in Adam has ever obeyed God. No one. I know what the foolish heart will say. Well, now wait a minute. To offend in one point is to be guilty of all of it. So let me ask you this: have we ever offended in one point? Well, yeah. Well, okay then. Well, then that means we've never obeyed. Because now we're guilty of all of it. A little leaven. What did it do? It leavened the whole lump. So here's the sum of mankind. Here's the sum of mankind. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. So here we all sit, a group of people, all having to admit, whether we want to or not, we've got to admit, we're sinners. We're sinners before God. But, oh, What a blessed place to be found. Though we admit what we are, Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. Man, a woman that won't admit their plight before God, being a sinner, I've come short of the glory of God. A man or a woman that will not admit, I've told you before, I had an uncle back in Louisiana, told me one day, he sat under a faithful preacher of the gospel, made that statement, the preacher did. And I had an uncle that told me, he said, I'll never come back here. I said, why? He said, I was a sinner. And he said, I am not a sinner. Well, then you don't have any hope then. Because sinners is the only one Christ came to save. It's not that the Lord, though, has not left us some hope. It's not that we're left in the dark concerning his requirement for life. Listen what he said in Micah. If you like to turn here, Micah 6. Micah chapter 6, verses 6 to 8. Listen to the prophet when Micah asked this question. Let's ask this question to us. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? How can I come before God? Now let's just be honest for a few minutes. Let's just get honest. Be honest. You know, we never really want to be honest with ourselves. But let's just get honest and just ask this question. Wherewith? How? How can I come before the Lord and bow myself before the Most High? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings? Calves of a year old? Is this what he wants? Is this what God demands of me? How will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? What if I gave the most precious thing that I could think of? One of my own kids. What would the Lord, you know? He has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? Now, if I ever wanted to hear something, I want to hear this, Fred, right here. What does the Lord require of thee? Here's what he wants. To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Okay. Well, will you do me a favor, preacher? Will you tell me what that means? I heard what it said. Here's what the Lord demands. To do justly. Now let me tell you what the definition of that is. To do the right thing. Well, okay, Carl, I agree. To do the right thing. I'll agree with that, but my problem is that I've already done the wrong thing. I fell in Adam. I fell in Adam's transgression. I came forth from my mother's womb speaking lies. According to the scripture, God looked and there was none righteous. There was none that did good. Not one. And I'm found in that group. Now, going back now I'm already guilty. So I don't even get to go back to the starting point. I'm already in the middle of the river. I'm already sunk. But to do justly, if that's what's demanded of God, I'm already lost. To do justly. What is it to do justly before God? Here's what it is. Agree with God. I'm going to agree with the Lord. I'm going to agree with what God Almighty has to say concerning His verdict. When the Lord said, there's none righteous, no, not one. To do justly is to just say, Lord, I agree with you. Lord, I admit what I am. Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, I in myself, I'm a rebel against God. But Lord, I'm going to agree with what you say. I'm going to agree with you concerning my dilemma. I'm going to confess that in myself, I deserve, because of sin, I deserve the wrath of your justice. I deserve that. Lord, if I got exactly what I deserved, you'd put me in hell. And Lord, I know that's true. I'm guilty. I've broken your law. I'm a sinner and I deserve, Lord, anything you gave me, I deserve it. Injustice. So what do I need? Well, I know this. Lord, keep me from sacrificing a sacrifice of fools. What am I going to bring before God, Mike, and give to Him? I'm done. In myself, I'm done. What, 10,000 rams? How about some rivers of oil? What if I foolishly gave one of my own kids? What does the Lord require? Justice. I agree, Lord. What do I need? What is the only hope that I've got? The only hope that I've got is that God would show mercy to me. That's the only thing I've got. I'm not gonna please Him because I'm a rebel. I'm not gonna give Him some. I'm not gonna sacrifice before God of my own free will or my works or my. What does the Lord require to do justly? Be honest with God, honest with myself, and God's gonna have to make me honest. Because by nature, I'll lie to myself. My old heart's desperately wicked. It's deceitful above all things. My heart will tell me, Marvin, you ain't that bad. And the Lord says, yeah, you are. And so I'm going to take God's word on that, and I'm going to go against myself. What do I need? I need mercy. I need mercy. The Lord declared unto Moses, when Moses asked Him, He said, show me your glory. And here's what the Lord said. I'm going to have mercy on whomsoever I will. I'm going to have compassion on whomsoever I will. Now, as I said a moment ago, I know that Christ came into this world to save sinners. And by the grace of God, if God has revealed to me in regenerating grace what I am, that's when I know it. Until the Lord does something for me, I don't know that. I don't believe it. I'll just keep going my happy way thinking that I can do something for God. I can please Him. And I know, according to the Scriptures, I can't. What does the Lord require? To love mercy. Exactly what does that mean? Hold your place in Micah and turn to Luke 1. Luke Chapter 1. What does it mean to love mercy? Somebody will give a definition of mercy. Unmerited favor. Okay. I'll go along with you. What does God say it is? What does the Lord say mercy is? Look at Luke chapter 1 and verse 67 to 73. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant. Do you know who mercy is? Mercy is the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, he is the mercy of God. To love him as he is revealed in the scriptures, not as the one that people are saying he is, that came into this world to try to save sinners. Find me one place in the scriptures where God ever tried to do anything. God Almighty's not trying to do anything. What's he doing? He's doing exactly as he will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And listen to this, and nobody is stopping him. Nobody can stay his hand. That's what Nebuchadnezzar was saying under the inspiration of God's Spirit. Nobody stops God. I will have mercy. What did he do? Ephesians chapter 1 said God chose a people from the foundation of the world and gave them to Christ. And Christ in John chapter 10 and verse 15 said, I laid down my life for those sheep. I laid down my life for the people. Look at John 17, verse 2. The scripture declares, listen to the words of the Lord. I'll read it. John 17, 2. The Lord's praying. He says, As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. God's got a people, an elect, that he's going to save. And he is the mercy of God. What does the Lord require? For me to be honest and just in my speech before him. Do the right thing. Lord, I'm guilty. Lord, what do you require? To love mercy. To love the mercy of Almighty God. I love him. We love him because he first loved us. But let me ask you this. We talk about loving the Lord. Where did that love come from? Where does the love of God? By nature, we're born not doing the right thing. The Lord's already established that. The Lord looked to see if there was any that did good. Do you think loving the Lord would be good? Yeah. But was there any that did it? There was none. There was none, not one, that did anything good. So the love for the Lord Jesus Christ, the mercy of God, where did that love come from? Where does it come from? I mean, it's got to come from somewhere because it wasn't there when I was born. Listen to Romans 5, chapter 5. Romans 5, 5. And hope, confidence, maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Where did I ever come up with love toward God's mercy? Love for Christ. Almighty God poured out and bestowed and distributed largely that love for him. What does God require? What God requires, God gives. That which he demands of his people, he bestows. This is my beloved son, whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. How am I going to hear? The Lord said, I'll give you ears to hear. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I'll give you a heart to believe on him. What God requires, God gives. And then, lastly, back in Micah, what does the Lord require? To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Let me ask you this. What is it to walk humbly with God? Of myself, I've never done a humble thing in my life. If I ever did it, I'd be proud of it. I'd boast. What is it? Well, I can tell you this. By a new heart in regenerating grace, and that's only where it's going to come from. God's going to have to give me a new heart. Because this old heart that I'm born with is not good. It's wicked. It's deceitful. The carnal mind is resentful before it's carnal. It's evil. It's against God. What is it to walk humbly with God? Well, first of all, I can tell you this. It's to have a high regard for Him. To have a high regard for Him. Do you know who man by nature thinks the most highly of? Oh, you say, no, Marvin, not really. Go back and read in Luke where two men went into the temple to pray. A Pharisee and a publican. And just listen to the way that they prayed. Read what they prayed. What did the Pharisee say? God, I'm glad I'm not like other men. I fast twice a week. I tithe all. I'm especially not like that publican right there. Man by nature thinks highly of himself. To walk humbly with God is to have a high regard for Him. To have a high regard for His Word is to search the Scriptures. Take the Scriptures and search the Scriptures to find out if what I've said this morning is so. And if it's not, then tell me. Come tell me and show me where it's not so, and I will recant if you can show me in the Scriptures what I've said is not so. But I can tell you this. To walk humbly with God is to have respect for Him, for His Word, for His pleasure, for His will, for His providence. And to walk humbly with God is to walk with a continual knowledge of my inability. And my lowliness, oh wretched man, the Apostle Paul said, oh wretched man that I am. Who was not that I was. This is Paul the Apostle. One who was taken to the third heaven, to paradise itself, and heard things it can't even utter. Heard people say that so and so died and they went to heaven. They came back and told all about it was. That's amazing to me. Because the Apostle Paul went there and he said he couldn't. It's to have a high opinion of God and a low opinion of myself. To walk humbly with God is to realize my continual need of His grace and His forgiveness. Of my need to come before Him. Why? Because I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. To walk humbly before Him is to seek mercy continually. I need to come continually before Him. Let me ask you something. Are there any sinners here this morning? If there's any sinners here. Now I'm not talking to righteous folks. If you're righteous in yourself and you don't, but I'm telling you, if there's any sinners here. Sinners that need mercy. Sinners that need some help. I've got some good news for you. There's one that can help. Come unto me. That's what we looked at the other day. Come unto me, all ye that labor, heavy laden. I'm going to give you rest. What does God require? Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly. I'm telling you, according to God's word, to obey is better than sacrifice. Lord, give me a heart of obedience. For Christ's sake and my eternal good. Amen. All right.